Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharski.com. PK, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I am well, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
We are great. Super. Appreciate you taking time to come on with us. So, Paul, we've talked a lot about Tannehill the last couple of days, and obviously the passing attack for the Titans offense right now is atrocious. It's not been good for Ryan Tannehill. My question for you is, how much of what's going on out there right now do you put on Tannehill, and how much of it is what is going on around him with the line, the lack of weapons, everything in terms of what we've seen from this Titans passing attack? What do you put on Tannehill in that regard?
Yeah, it's never just one thing. So, it's disappointing that he hasn't been able to elevate his game and elevate some of the people he's working with, which is what top-flight quarterbacks do. But, think about this. And we know Joe's love affair with Nick Westbrook-Akina, who showed himself on Sunday to be a high-class special teamer. You got Westbrook-Akina, you got Racy McMathen, you got Cody Hollister on the field sometimes as a three wide set. That's a minor league group of players that don't put fear into anybody. The fact of the matter is, teams are playing the Titans exactly the same as they played them when Derrick Henry was on the field in terms of stacking the box. Titans have zero vertical threat. They finally threw three deep passes in this game. One of them was dropped, Joe, and two of them didn't.
Oh, it's
didn't
on me
connect.
Now.
Yeah, it's all on
yeah,
you.
Okay.
Two of them didn't connect. They have no explosivity to them whatsoever, and they're running the game pretty well. It's time for people to come to terms with the fact that this team is missing AJ Brown way more than it's missing Derrick Henry, and Ryan Tannehill. Is pressing. He needs to throw the ball away once in a while. And let's not forget the offensive line. It's pretty remarkable that an offensive line could be as good as this one is in run blocking and simultaneously as poor as it is pass protecting. And I'm sick of them pretending like David Questenberry's a quality right tackle. David Questenberry's there because they blew the Isaiah Wilson pick. They blew the Dylan Radin's pick, at least for this year. Ty Sambrello couldn't cut it and quit. Kendall Lamb is a bust as a signing, and he's the last man left standing. He's not a starting tackle in the NFL, and he's the weak link on the line. None of them are playing well, but this guy's getting beat on a consistent basis, and they act like he's legit.
Yeah, I would say that T.J. Watt is really going to make someone look bad. I think Questenberry has been serviceable for most of the year, but you're right about all the missteps to get there. Okay, but and you've laid out well, Paul, the various issues. But just back to Tannehill, do you think differently of him as a player now than you did when the season started?
No, people are really confused about this, Joe. Ryan Tannehill is a guy that the Titans plugged into a system that was well-suited for him. It's a great trade. He has a skill set that fit exactly what they do. Run-based offense, don't want him to throw that much, strong in the play action, all of that. That's a good thing. If you don't have one of the five best quarterbacks in the league, if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert now, some of these young guys, then you want a quarterback that can do things in the framework of your system. he's very good at doing things in the framework of your system. People want to look at that as limited. I look at that as smart. That's what we want teams to do all the time, put players in situations where they can excel. The Titans have done that with Tannehill. Now things have broken down around him, and everybody's like, oh, my God, this guy can't carry the team. If you thought he could carry the team, that's kind of on you. I didn't think Ryan Tannehill was a quarterback that could carry the team. If he was a quarterback that could carry the team, this team would have been built around him, and it wasn't. It's been built around Derrick Henry the whole time. Now, I think he should be doing better than he's doing, separately of that. He's not throwing the ball away for some reason. He's locking in on receivers. All those other factors play in, and I'm not making excuses for him. He's playing horribly. I think the 17 interceptions leads the league. And that's atrocious. And then he's fumbling snaps on top of it. He looks, you know, a little bit frantic and panicky.
Paul Karski from Outkick 360 and paulkarski.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PK, you've been around this team for a long time. The Julio Jones trade at this point, obviously he cannot stay healthy. Where does this rank in terms of disappointments thus far that we've seen out of Julio Jones in that trade?
Well, I mean, it's a huge disappointment, but in terms of a trade, it probably ranks really high. In terms of player acquisition, I mean, we're not far removed from Vic Beasley. Josh Reynolds lasted less than half a season. So, I mean, player acquisition has been really pretty poor. Isaiah Wilson takes the cake, so... I mean, he's just another one where they misjudge and fail. But on the field, I mean, here's the disconnect. I mean, they finally get him on the field. Yeah, the first play was intended for him, and Wormley got the sack. So then they don't do anything with him the rest of the game until an incomplete pass to him in the end zone late in the second quarter, and then he disappears. I mean, when he's on the field, why do you not force the issue and get him the ball when you've got a collection of scrubs out there otherwise, sorry, Joe, that I listed earlier?
Okay.
I don't understand. It's like they're outsmarting everyone. Look, the guy's limited. He can't run past people anymore. But if you're putting him on the field, you know better than Pittsburgh knows what his limitations are. Let Pittsburgh find out. Throw him the ball. There's got to be some routes where he can out-physical people and use his skills. And you know there's probably a ticking clock on him. You know he might have 20 minutes before he pulls his hamstring again. Use him.
Well, let's take it to Downing, who, I mean, a lot of the same excuses are available for him that we're applying to Tannehill. What's your evaluation of him at this point? Relative to your expectations going in, relative to his predecessor?
Yeah, well, he's not any Arthur Smith, that's for sure. But again, I mean, in a lot of ways, this flips to I don't want to let him off the hook. I don't think he's doing a good enough job right now. Like, they don't have anybody that can separate. But, Joe, it seems to me like the way, and I think they've done a good job with the screens, but the way you buy some guys separation who can't separate is you stack trips on one side and you run that all that rub stuff, right? Did we see them do that at all? No. So are they incapable of doing that? Like, can they not handle it? Or are you failing them by not calling it? I don't really understand why that's not happening. But you're also coaching a guy who doesn't understand that he has to be beyond the sticks on the last play of the game in order for you not to lose. So I'm a little bit sympathetic on that front. But, I don't think he's doing great. I do agree the easiest thing in the world is to go and be critical of the play calling. They're running the ball really well. I would have actually run the ball maybe a little bit more, especially when Tannehill's going so poorly and the weapons are so bad. So I give them credit for sustaining the run game. I give them all credit for sustaining the run game. He's got to be more inventive, more creative with the passing game. And I expect AJ to play on Thursday night, and I need them to throw it to him.
So, Paul, obviously, you got a red-hot 49ers team coming in here on Thursday. I mean, look, this Titans team has lost to the Jets and the Texans and an awful Steelers team this year, too. So nothing is guaranteed. I understand that. What's your concern level at this point that the division, losing the division, is in danger for this group?
It's still really hard to lose the division. I mean, any combination of two Titans wins or two Colts losses. This Colts Arizona game is really big, and the Cardinals are not what they were when the Titans saw them. Obviously, Murray is slumping. Hopkins is out of the lineup. The Titans have to win at Houston, so there's one. Can they find one between San Francisco and Miami? Can the Colts slip once? I still feel okay about the division, but I'm saying that and I'm kind of convincing myself. I mean, the Colts are hot right now and the Titans are playing terribly. And the fact of the matter is the Titans have to find some level of footing, and it's hard to expect it to come on short notice after another game where they're incapable of holding on to the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like this matchup for them, the way the Niners are playing.
But they
don't lose when they have extra rest under Vrabel, and they're going to have extra rest. And I just don't think Miami's that good. And like you said, I mean, you can't get swept by Houston. There's just no way, right? I think there's no way. So I think they're still going to win the division. But a playoff, you know, let's say A.J. Brown comes back Thursday, like you said, and he is A.J. Brown. It looks to me like Bud Dupree was pretty explosive Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's a positive addition. So then let's say Derrick Henry comes into the mix, and, you know, whatever that means, I think people who think he's going to come in and get 32 carries in his first game, you know, are fooling themselves. But do you still feel like this team could have an extended January if these things come together for them?
Well, I'm hard-pressed to believe that Derrick Henry's going to be out there in anything like himself. I mean, this is a wide receiver injury, usually slighter guys. You're talking about a 250-pound guy on that foot. I don't know anything insider-ish, and we know that there's kind of a battle between ESPN and NFL Network in terms of rating his availability.
Yes.
Has Schefter said anything about that lately?
I haven't heard anything lately.
No, he's been quieter. But I would bet against just my gut feeling against him being of great influence going forward. Look, they would have to completely transform back into something they haven't been in some time. If they drew the Colts in the first round like they have now, the odds of beating them a third time, they did it to Jacksonville in 1999. But, it's hard to feel good about them right now. You'd have to be forecasting something completely new. And this season of all seasons, recency bias kind of rules the day, and I can't get 13 turnovers in three losses out of my head. So no, Joe, I don't have a good feeling about him going on any kind of playoff run. I think he should make vacation plans for second or third week of the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I did that in 2017, and I had to cancel two vacations because I was like, no, the Preds are going to get smoked by the Blackhawks, so that will not happen. I'm a veteran, Paul.
You're a veteran. You were a veteran then, and you did that. That was really dumb.
You don't have to ever stop learning, Paul. We can continue to get better as we get older, buddy.
That's right.
Paul, that was still really dumb.
Paul Kaharsky has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharsky.com. PK, appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you and the family have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Likewise to you guys. I always appreciate the invitation, and have a great short week.
And,
absolutely.
And take it easy on NWI, will you? Just chill out a little bit.
Back to special teams, please.
PK, appreciate you, brother.
See ya.
Paul Kaharsky from Outkick 360 and PaulKaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1000. 1025. That's coming up next. Turn every Tuesday into payday with TNT Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you win or lose, FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every single Tuesday. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same game parlays let you combine the money line, the point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. The Pacers taking on my beloved Miami Heat tonight. The Heat dealing with some injury problems. It's rough right now, but you know what? They're at home. I think they have enough to win this game, so give me the Miami Heat. Give me Kyle Lowry with a big game as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. It's the perfect way to turn a small bet into a big-time score. And once again, if you win or lose, you're guaranteed to get $10 added to your account. So if you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show on ESPN 94.9, live from Boo Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville this Thursday. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 5 to 7 p.m. live at Boo Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville at 1003 Russell Street prior to the Titans taking on the San Francisco 49ers. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Thanks to Paul Kaharsky for joining us in the last segment. What did you make of his answer there of not feeling great about the outlook of the Titans right now, even if you get A.J. Brown back and Derrick Henry back? And I kind of agree with the two of you. Like, I know Derrick Henry is superhuman, so I guess nothing that he does would really surprise me. But the idea of him coming back and all of a sudden it's like nothing happened and he just gets the ball 35 times a game, I can't see it. I don't really know if that's smart. Like, I just don't anticipate that being the way things shake out.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you could flip that around and say, well, then why even have him play? But I still think there's value in having him available, having the threat. If he is healthy enough to play, why can't he carry it more? Is there a pitch count coming back from this? Like, I would argue if there's a pitch count or something like that, then don't bring it back and just bring it back next year. You know, it's so, but yeah, I just would be surprised if all of a sudden it's just boom, here you go, and it's back, and it's just Derrick Henry doing everything. So we'll see on that. I thought it was interesting that Paul said A.J. Brown way more important than Derrick Henry. Probably should have pressed Paul on that, actually. I don't know. I think you can make an argument on which is more important because they're running the ball really well still.
Right.
But way more? I think that's a little bit overstated.
Well, I would agree, but also, I mean, you look at the numbers. They ran for 270 against the Patriots, and they ran for 200 against Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you can't pass the ball right now. So I get what he's saying.
Yes.
I mean, look, a lot of – even as well as they're running the ball, there are still like one or two at least runs a game where I'm looking around like, man, if that was Derrick Henry, he'd be gone.
Oh, yeah. No, there were three or four the other day. There were three or four the other day where it's like, yep, that's a house call. And that's the thing. He's such a threat along with – and Deontay Foreman has been a heck of a find here, but he's such a threat along with the diminishing effect that he has on defenses because he also hammers at them all day. But, yeah, I mean, look, you've got to have a playmaker outside, and they've gotten – I mean, he's a little tough on Westbrook-Ikhina. But, look, Westbrook-Ikhina is a great story. We know this. He's probably the most praised guy on the team this year. I mean, he's like up there on a like every other week basis. Someone talks about what a pro he is on that, and it's a great story. And he should be your fourth or fifth receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I would say fourth max. Like that's what he should be. Now, again, there's no disrespect to him. He's done good. He's done a good job in what they've asked him to do. But I agree. Like you look out there, there's not much separation. And it'd be really big to get A.J. Brown back. I mean, get him back and get him the ball, as PK said. It's one thing to have him back, and I do agree with you that just his presence, it helps you offensively because that gives the defense something to look at and to think about. But they need as many playmakers as they – like, you got to get involved. Like, he's got to be a huge factor in this game if he can play.
And he does. You know, look, he's just capable of – yeah, I mean, really, once he gets in the open field, I mean, he's a problem to tackle. He's a powerful player. He makes a big difference if he's playing like he can play at his best. And he was that for, you know, a few weeks of this year. Of course, he's also had a whole bunch of his own various injuries, and this last one was kind of weird. So Kaharski expects him to play. There's other noise out there that, you know, maybe this week it's a little bit tight. They knew the timetable all along. I mean, they knew the timetable. He's not returning to practice to me with the idea that just let's get him ready for Miami.
Agreed.
Now, he may not end up playing Thursday, but they know how badly they need him as quickly as possible.
Mark from Clarksville texting in, give me more trash talk. Give me Owens running to the logo. Give me Moss mooning the crowd. Or Horn making a phone call. Trash talk is great for the game, and hate the taunting rule. That's going back to my logo stance. Coming from Mark from Clarksville on the text line. I'm here. I'm here for it all. The pulling the cell phone out of the end zone, that was pretty great.
That was.
Can't really do that anymore.
That was pretty great. Ron says if someone held a picture of your mom and stomped on it while, I guess, talking mess, would you be mad? Kind of the same thing. You love your mom, you love your team.
Talking about the logo?
I'm thinking that's what Ron's talking about.
Well, let's be clear. First off, the Titans didn't stomp on anything.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, you gotta start there. Like, if they actually did something like that, then that's one thing.
Also,
they gathered on it.
Yeah,
and hopped around and got excited about it.
Got excited and said, all righty. I mean, they did
broke
their,
it down.
Yeah, they did their Urban Meyer 1-2-3 grind chant and walked back to the sideline. That's all they did. It's no big deal.
I was going to say, I hope you love your mom more than your football team, too.
Well, there is right? That, too.
And also, I would hope that you wouldn't put a logo of your mom on your floor.
Well, that, too.
Or exactly,
your
field. Joe.
Or your yard.
Paint a logo of Deborah out there. Maybe that's what I'll do today.
I got Susan's out there, and then Gus and Quinn pee on it. No, we don't want this.
A.J. Brown, as you said, designated to return yesterday. Be nice to see if he could be on the field. Other injury news for the Titans. And, again, these are projections. Julio Jones did not practice due to a hamstring. I don't think that's a surprise. Taylor Lewant on the injury report with a back. He was projected as a DNP as well. And then the one that continues to just be frustrating and concerning, David Long Jr., hamstring, DNP. And here we are. The LA Rams game is the last time we've seen David Long Jr. It's a long time.
It is. And it seems, you know, man, he is such a playmaker. It's been such a breakthrough year for him. It's kind of lost in Jayon Brown returning, but Rashawn Evans, I think for a second straight week, I like how he played.
Yeah.
I thought he looked active and aggressive, and I thought Evans and Zach Cunningham together looked pretty good out there. Zach Cunningham's out there blasting people. So it seems less of a big deal. But, you know, for example, in a game like this, I mean, I feel like Jayon Brown is going to have to be, in some situations, utilized against Kittle. And Long maybe would have been a guy. I mean, you know, that's more their area than Evans and Cunningham. So they're going to miss him at some point.
Is that going to be Kevin Byard's job?
Well, that too. Yeah, sure. You know, when they're manning up, I mean, I think that makes the most sense. But, you know, you're gonna have a variety of coverages, and it'll be interesting. I mean, how much do they devote to trying to slow him down? He's incredible.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, looking ahead to the 49ers game coming up on Thursday. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Attention, men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey, that's right, guys. If you're out there struggling with ED, just imagine turning back the clock in the bedroom, being able to function without the pill, and getting normal frequency back. Well, That is what this technology at Hillside Medical Clinic is doing. It's called wave therapy, and it emits pressure waves, which gently open up and regrow the blood vessels. It's different because it's actually treating the problem, the root cause of erectile dysfunction, instead of just masking symptoms.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on the wave therapy technology?
Our technology at Hillside Medical Clinic is heavily vetted by 50 studies. Cambridge, multiple other universities, hospitals, and journals have showed this to be safe, effective. One study said that this creates a clinical increase in blood flow, and who doesn't want more of that in the bedroom?
And Andrew, I hear you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
We certainly do. If you are ready to end your erectile dysfunction and your frustrations, get rid of the pill, call us now this morning. The exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound will be free, plus a gift. This is worth the call. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. It's about $500. It's totally free to callers right now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 9 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation going around what has been a wild week in the NFL. Some games that have been moved. We got two games tonight, Joe Rextro, the Seahawks and the Rams, and then Washington taking on Philadelphia. A couple of big ones tonight.
Yeah, so Washington, Philly, that's basically an elimination game. Whoever wins that game is going to be 7-7 and still right in there. The loser, I think you can rule out.
I kind of can't believe that the Philadelphia Eagles have won six games this year with that head coach. Like, I go back to the Nick Sirianni.
Sweet Nick S, man.
Some of the speeches that he's gone on in these media press conferences, and I'm like, wow, that guy's won six games.
Well, you know, they don't pay these guys to give speeches.
Yeah, that is true. You know? Although Dan Campbell does a good job at that, too.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I hope he gets paid by the word with his speeches.
It was a lengthy one.
So Rams Seahawks, that's in L.A., correct?
Yeah.
Which, of course, could pull the Rams even at 10-4 with the Cardinals. Now, I don't know who the tiebreaker would be there. They split in the regular, they've split the series, but I mean they're right there now. The door has been open, thanks in part to Dan Campbell, Matt Stafford's old team, and the Rams' former quarterback. Thanks to them in part. Now the Rams have a shot here now, which is pretty wild. That looked absolutely.
I think the Rams would jump ahead because the Cardinals are 6-4 in conference. That would mean the Rams, if they win this game, would be 7-3.
There you go.
I think they move ahead.
There you go. That's pretty wild. I would not have guessed that, with three games to go, we could be talking about first place Rams.
Yeah.
So the Titans maybe temporarily broke them, but if they figure this out, and you never know with that division too, by the way. I mean, Russ could come in and wreck any night for somebody. So that's actually a pretty interesting game. And then you could be looking at 4-10-4s, all a game behind your beloved Packers with three to go. That's kind of fun.
It'd be great if the Seahawks could win this game. Just keep putting that pressure on them, because I don't think Tampa's losing again. I think Tampa has, they got two more with the Panthers and maybe one with the, I can't remember who the other one mixed in there is, but it's not good. So they're probably, even with Chris Godwin out, probably going to go 3-0 down the stretch.
The Tampa that just scored 0 points?
They'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, look at that schedule. At Panthers, at Jets versus Panthers.
That's who the other one was, the Jets. My. So they're not losing again.
It's like just a Sam Darnold booyah base.
So how concerned are you about the division? PK did not seem to be overly concerned at this point. look, I get it. There's three games left. You win two of them, you're in good shape if you're the Titans. Obviously, all eyes outside of the result of the Titans game Thursday going to be on Indy and Arizona. That's a big one. Cardinals favored by two in that game. I don't know that I've reached the point yet where I am overly concerned about the Titans losing the division. But I will say, even though it's the Dolphins and the Texans on the schedule coming down the stretch, if the Titans lose to the Niners and Indy pulls off this win against Arizona, I'm going to be concerned at that point.
Yeah, well, it'll create a high pressure situation, and I think there's a really good chance of both things happening. Really good? I think there's a good chance. I do look at the Cardinals and their situation and think, you know what? They just got smoked by the Lions. Kyler Murray's slumping. DeAndre Hopkins lost for the season. We've lost too many good players again for the season in the NFL, and that hurts them big time. But
another game, though, in the regular season for him, you know, him to be healthier in the playoffs, he'll be back.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's right. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
nice sarcasm there.
Thanks.
I just feel like they might respond, but you know what? The Colts are playing so well right now. That's going to be a really good game, I think. So, yeah, it's very possible that it's a tie, a technical tie, with the Titans still having the edge and two games to play. And then you're talking about, I mean, if the Colts get through this, the Colts, they've got two light games to finish, don't they? They've got the Raiders now.
You never know with them.
You don't know. I mean, yesterday it looked like the Browns were getting it done, and then Derek Carr comes out with some huge throws after throwing the terrible pick. But then they get the Jags to finish. They're probably going to win those two games. So, but I still think the Titans are probably going to win their last two, and that's why I just can't see it. I still can't see it. They are going to have extra time to prepare for the Dolphins and to rest for that game, the last home game of the season. And if they get swept by the Texans, then they deserve to not be in the playoffs, and I'd give them a 3-year ban for the playoffs. Give them a show cause. You know, keep them out of the playoffs the next 3 years if they get swept by the Texans this year. How about that?
It's Davis Mills.
Yes. It's going to be all Davis Mills all the time.
Can you imagine if that game, like, actually means a lot for the Titans?
Well, I was waiting and seeing on going because, you know, it's like if it's meaningless. But I just booked everything. Yeah. I mean, because something – there's a lot of things that could happen that day. Yes, it could be the pressure of you have to win the division. You could still be in play for the one. If they win Thursday, that's also still possibly on the table. And it also could be, a return of someone kind of important too.
Yeah, I would say so. It's amazing. You look at the playoff picture right now. Kansas City's the one, New England two, the Titans at three. Right now the matchup would be you've got the Patriots that'd be taking on the Bills. It would be Titans, Chargers, and then Bengals, Colts right now. The standings are quite something in the AFC. Oh, by the way, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Browns, and the Broncos all at 7-7 as well. So right now that tie for the Steelers at 7-6-1, keeping them ahead of the Raiders, the Dolphins, and the Browns at the moment, and the Broncos.
Yeah.
By the way, has anybody heard about Teddy Bridgewater?
Because
he left the game. And
I think they said he was going to be fine, but they just left him in the hospital to monitor him for 24 hours.
Yeah.
That guy's had some scary injuries, man.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, the injury he had when he was with the Vikings was devastating. Yeah, so he was released after the head injury. So he's in there. I mean, a lot of those teams, like, I've been a non-believer in them. I still just – I don't buy the Dolphins. They're coming in here soon. Good for them to go from – I mean, it was like, whoa, are they going to get the first – are they going to be like right there with the Jags? You know, good for them. They're okay.
Right now the Ravens are out of the playoffs, by the way.
8-6, and they're out of the playoffs. So, yeah, and you got – I mean, they could be in a very – that's the thing. Like the Titans, Jets and Texans and this last game. But, I mean, if you're the Ravens, look at – some of the games they've lost. I mean, two of them came down to one play, and they chose to bring it down to one play, which there's a lot of talk about that this week. I think it was absolutely the right decision.
It was interesting. I went back and watched the two-point play for the Ravens yesterday, and they went to Mark Andrews in the corner, and it was a good play by the Packers to break it up. You look back over the middle, Hollywood Brown is wide open. He's just wide open standing there, and Huntley, who, by the way, Tyler Huntley looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Quarterback for the Ravens. Never saw him. So
well, so this actually, I was going to make this point earlier to a texter on Tannehill, because I see a lot of people talking about, you know, move the pocket, roll him out, and I think there's value in that for sure. I mean, if you are just getting played like an accordion, sometimes you got to just move outside the pocket, and obviously Tannehill's mobile.
Yep.
But you know what that does? It also cuts the field down for you, right? And that's why I didn't love the play from the Ravens. Because it's like, okay, so you're basically like, if that doesn't work out, you're probably toast.
The rollout near the goal line, when it's already tough to throw the ball anyway, drives me insane. Like, it just, especially.
It works sometimes.
It works sometimes, and you do give yourself an option to run if you're the quarterback there, too.
Right.
So there are parts about it that can work, but you're basically taking the field that's already difficult to throw the ball into and cutting it in half.
Well, and when you talk about running, I mean, they scored the touchdown on a straight drop back play because he had the middle of the field to run in too.
Exactly.
So I mean, it's so there's pluses and minuses to it. I'm not saying that shouldn't be utilized. I'm a big fan of mixing things up. Like I agree with what Paul said earlier, Karski said earlier about, you know, are they running enough rub routes and stuff like that? Can they try some different things? I mean, I think Todd Downing's got to be in the lab, right, trying to come up with anything creative he can come up with right now. Especially if he's not going to have A.J. Brown Thursday.
Well, but even if he does, like, not just creative to get other guys open and to be able to have options to throw the ball, you got to get creative with A.J. Brown, too. Like, put him in the slot. Put him in the back. Like, do whatever you got to do with A.J. Brown to get him the ball on Thursday. Like, if he can play, you got to feed that guy.
A.J. Brown Wildcat?
Hey, I don't hate it, man.
I don't hate it.
No? Can he throw?
I don't know. I don't know that I've seen him throw a football. I mean,
well, I bet the Niners haven't seen him throw a football, so we'll see what happens.
Uh-oh, foreshadowing.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Bowl season is the best season, and ESPN The Game Nashville is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff, brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown and Central Barbecue. 312 Pizza Company is the perfect spot to catch every game during the bowl season. And for a list of games carried on 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, hit up our website at thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live tomorrow on 102.5 The Game. The show will air on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us this hockey season for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, we'll be joined by our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Steven texting in, who was the genius who decided to give us the Washington game instead of the Rams game? So both games tonight taking place at 6 o'clock. I guess according to Steven, we have the Washington-Philadelphia game. I would much rather have the Seahawks-Rams game.
Yeah. I don't know. That's an interesting – I mean, there's no real – it's like 50-50 to me on, like, which Nashville would get. There's no real reason for either of them.
Right.
But, yeah, I think most people would just probably rather watch the other one. But, hey, NFC East rivalry. Yeah. Get excited.
The football team.
Yeah, WFT.
Yeah. Go watch Taylor Heinicke play some quarterback. I mean, is he playing? I don't know. He got put on the COVID list. Is he back? I have no clue.
And if he's not, who's the QB?
I don't know. I haven't kept up much with the Washington football team as of late.
I try generally not to watch NFC's football. The Cowboys are fine. I still don't buy the Cowboys either. But we'll
number
see.
Two seed right now in the NFC, yeah. Dallas Cowboys.
We'll see.
Randy texting in. Do you think the Titans should or would, if they lose the next two, still make the playoffs? Do you think they go ahead and shut down Derrick Henry and AJ to make sure they're totally 100% going into the playoffs with what they have? If they lose the next two.
They already shut down AJ. I mean, when he's healthy, he's going to play.
Right. Like, Henry is just Can he get back and play, or can he not?
If he's healthy, he's going to play. But so if they lose the next two, you're talking about 9-7.
Yeah.
I think 10-7 will get in. I think. I mean, if you go by like the – I don't even know who gets credit for the – the percentage of playoff next gen or whatever, they're like at 96% right now. So even if they lost the next two and then won at Houston, they probably get in as a wild card.
I wouldn't, depending on what the Colts do too. Colts could lose two and you still win the division.
Could.
Yeah, unlikely, could. But could.
I'm guessing the Colts. That's the thing. You could lose the next two, and if the Colts just lose to the Cardinals, you still are going to win the division. But Colts winning out wouldn't surprise me either. Go to 11-6, you go 10-7. Right now you got the Ravens at 8-6, you got the Bills at 8-6. There's a glut of teams. I think you'd probably still get in. It'd truly be amazing if the Titans, after all this, don't get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in. What do y'all think about the Bengals right now? Bengals 4 seed in the AFC. Big win the other day. They're at 8-6. They're leading the division in the AFC North at the moment.
Only because of Derek Carr and the Raiders, because it would be the Browns. The Browns would have been first in the AFC North and fourth in the AFC. Instead, they are last in the AFC North and 12th in the AFC because of one kick.
That division's crazy.
It really is.
I don't know that there's a great team in that division. They're all pretty good. Like the Steelers, I still think are the worst team.
The Steelers are the worst team. They're the worst team. The Ravens are still, you just watched them play your team. I mean, they still have a lot to offer. They get Lamar Jackson back. They're dangerous, but they're also really banged up too. I mean, that's other than the Titans, right? And the Ravens have more season-ending stuff than the Titans did to key players. The Browns, I still think, are very talented, and if Baker Mayfield were to come back and play well, what do you think of the Bengals was your question. I like the Bengals. I like Joe Burrow a lot.
They're ahead of schedule.
I like Jamar Chase a lot. They are ahead of schedule. I think back, a game that I watched a lot of was the Browns going into their place a few weeks ago and just kicking their butts up and down the field. Even the Niners game, great fight by the Bengals to come back, and they really should have won that game. But they got out physicaled for a lot of that game too. So, I mean, they're good. I think they're probably going to get in. And Burrow is, Burrow could be special. Absolutely.
Well, their wide receiver core is pretty darn good, and it's young too, so it's going to get better. I mean, when you have Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, all three of those guys pretty good.
No doubt.
They got some good weapons offensively, and Joe Mixon, having a great year too.
Mixon is very good. But I should have looked at their schedule before I said they're probably going to get in, because they have the Ravens at home.
Yep.
Huge game.
They've already beat the Ravens once.
They have. They have the Chiefs at home. Huge game. And again, if the Titans win Thursday, circle that one.
Yep.
Because that's your best bet to get back ahead of the Chiefs in the seeding order. And then they finish at Cleveland. So, I mean, 8-9 still on the tail of the band. It's going to be wild. I mean, you can go through a lot of these teams. Yeah, you got the Bucs, who just have a vacation the rest of the way, but there's a lot of teams here that just have a lot of toss-up games left.
Ben on the text line. Tannehill was throwing picks before Henry got hurt this year, and when Tannehill didn't turn it over in the playoffs, he might as well have, because he didn't step up when Henry got stuffed versus the Chiefs and the Ravens. He needs everything to be perfect around him, which is unrealistic in the NFL. 3 more years, yay. That's coming from Ben on the text line.
I'm thinking Ben's a little down on Tannehill. Huh?
I think Ben's been down on Tannehill for a while.
Yeah. I don't think, again, you go through the last 2 years, things weren't always perfect. And he had some tremendous games. There were games where Tannehill was the best thing about the Titans.
Yep.
There were. But, of course, he benefited greatly from Derrick Henry and from A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and an offensive line that, again, to me is just the biggest disappointment about this season. As PK said, as we've been saying the whole year, like, they're just, as a pass-blocking group, it's been bad. But I agree with anybody who says Tannehill still has to rise above that. I mean, you're still paying him $30 million to be at least a very good quarterback in the NFL, and at times he hasn't been. And that's a good point about the picks. Even in camp, he was throwing some picks, and it was kind of like, okay, taking some chances. But something in everything they're doing, and maybe it's him and Downey, maybe there's, you know, he and Arthur Smith had a thing on a weekly basis that led to some really good stuff on Sundays, and he doesn't have that with Todd Downey. That's possible. But whatever it is, he has had way too many risky throws this year compared to the first 2 years.
Well, some of them just don't make sense, right? I mean, it's just not seeing guys, or I guess trying to force things. I don't know. But, I mean, he gifted a pick on Sunday against Pittsburgh that just got dropped. I mean, he threw it right to him. And that's happened way too often this year. I mean, you're talking about once or twice a game where he's hitting the defenders in the hands. That's not good. And some of that just comes from, I don't know if he's not seeing guys drop or if he just knows that the margin for error for these wide receivers is so small that sometimes you're just going to have to gun it in there and see if you can get it to make a play. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Tannehill there. But the either not seeing guys or seeing them and not caring anyway has been a little weird with Tannehill this year.
Well, and I think it was Ron, but somebody on the text line earlier said, you know, it reminds him of Mariota, I almost said.
Oh, boy.
Mariota.
Can't reminds have him that.
Of Mariota and how he was later in his career. And I would not go there. I think Mariota later in his career, I remember 2019, beginning of the season, terrible pass pro then, too, with no Lawan and Jameel Douglas, a right guard, and all that stuff. He saw ghosts all over the place. And
Tannehill's not doing that.
No, Tannehill's in fact, I would argue Tannehill at times is just hanging in there too long. But maybe that does explain some of what you're talking about, which is just the snap decision to throw over the middle when you didn't see the linebacker drop. Maybe the clock has sped up to create some of those bad decisions. Because he just made so few of those bad decisions the last 2 years.
Chad on YouTube says, there's no middle ground in him having his starters and having guys who have been with the team a week. People act like he's just missing a star player or two. These are literally pedestrians on the field with Tannehill.
So now we got the other side of the Tannehill argument.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And Josh Reynolds.
In fairness, Cody Hollister, not a pedestrian. He's a pretty good sized guy.
He's a good blocker.
We know how important that is.
You know? No, I mean, it's
can't play receiver for the Titans, apparently, if you can't block.
That's right. But, I mean,
get out of here, Josh Reynolds.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Josh Reynolds right now, he would – and Josh Reynolds was the guy that I thought was going to be the – okay, there's the guy, the third guy, who will get vertical for you some. Yeah. But then Marcus Johnson – remember that when we talk about, like, how do they lose – Josh, remember, Marcus Johnson was also ahead of him. I think largely because Josh Reynolds was hurt during camp, but you know they had a few guys who were ahead of him, and now they're all gone. They're not all gone, but, I mean, this, you know, most of those last game, no Julio, no AJ, no Marcus. Who else?
I mean, Cam Batson. Just think about Cam Batson right now.
How about Cam Batson? Yeah. There you go. Sure. He was making plays.
Yeah.
They trust him absolutely, and he has justified that trust. Gone. I'm forgetting someone else.
I don't even remember who you've listened to at this point.
But it's a bunch.
The point is,
yeah. No, it's a bad deal. And chemistry does matter. Like how much think about 2 years ago when it was like, gosh, Tannehill and Corey Davis just don't quite have that chemistry. It took them like half a year. Then they got it. It's not a snap of the fingers.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Get his thoughts on all things NFL, a wild week that, in a couple instances, still going on tonight in the NFL. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.